Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on this Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. Still hard to get used to saying that 13 days into the year as we have it right now. 13 and a half minutes past the hour, and we have got a great show for you today that covers all the bases in radio: entertaining, informative, educational. And that's what we will do this morning. Now, a little housekeeping here. Coming up next hour on this program, we are going to be joined by longtime medical expert on the Today Show and Good Morning America, best-selling author Dr. Art Uhlein. Dr. Uhlein will be on this program because we have been inundated with questions about the COVID-19 vaccine. And the doctor has been studying up on this, and he is going to tell you everything you need to know about the COVID-19 vaccine, which at this point is being offered to senior citizens, healthcare workers, and people in the education field. So Dr. Art Uhlein next hour, and he will also give you an update on this new strain of COVID-19 that is now in the United States in certain places, and just an update on the pandemic itself. Dr. Art Uhlein next hour. Now, we start off the morning this morning, this hour, with one of my favorite guests, and he's been on quite a few times, but he is a gentleman in every sense of the word. But this time, his appearance is marked by a real touchstone for this area and really for the country. Earl Pitts, the longest-running comedy syndicated program at 35 years, that was in syndication, those things just don't happen, has ended its run of new episodes. Now, if you still listen to Earl Pitts, there are classic episodes that are still airing on stations, so Earl is not gone, but the creator and thought and voice behind Earl Pitts, Gary Burbank, in December announced that it was time to bring new episodes of the Earl Pitts Show to an end. 35 years. And in radio, Earl Pitts might be the most indelible character in the history of radio simply because you didn't have to introduce him. When you heard the trumpet, you knew who was coming. And in this area, he's been syndicated for well over 20 years, and everybody knew when he was on. Very rare things in radio do people know the exact time, especially a 2.5 minute commentary every day, but everybody knew what time Earl was on. Before we go to Gary Burbank to find out why new episodes of Earl Pitts have ceased, we're going to play a classic Earl here, and it really is the right one to play this morning. Earl on Celebrity Status. Here's Earl Pitts.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so mad? I want to spend all day at the chili cook-off, and then all evening at the prayer meeting playing Name the Gas Factory Here Who Went to the Chili Cook-off. That'd be me. I've been on here doing these commentaries for a long, long time, hadn't I? It all started good way back to blow off some steam while doing my bit to put this great country of ours on the right path. The right path to moral values we've forgotten since the cancellation of Hee Haw. But here lately, I come to realize them commentaries are doing more than correcting the errors of our ways. They're making me a big celebrity. Yeah. Pearl, she said people have started coming up to her when she's out shopping, asking her if she's a lady married to that Pitts guy on the radio. She tells them she is. They always give her a blessing. Yeah. She says the day after I got on here and talked about how I surprised her with her nearly new vacuum cleaner and mop that I bought her for Christmas. She got recognized and blessed three times standing in the checkout lane at the Save a Bunch. And my son, Earl Jr., his teachers at school have all told him he's got potential to become somebody, but he should change his name and get a nose job. I can understand that. I totally agree with that. Both they and I know for a fact that he ain't going to learn to become his own big deal if he spends his life surfing on his old man's coattails. Anyhow, I understand the price of being a celebrity, and I can assure each and every one of you out there that no matter how many times I get asked to endorse a big-name product or start getting calls and offers to make special appearances and even someday getting a TV show or a movie, I mean, I will always be the down-to-earth, modest, reliable Earl Pitts you've come to know and love after all these years. But no autographs. Hold on. Old Teddy, have my truck brought around front. Wake up, America! Yeah, it's the rusty one with the big bull hanging down things on the trailer here. Yeah, thank you. Hey, Earl Pitts, American! Oh, I am getting a little highfalutin.
The legendary Earl Pitts, and we now bring in the voice and the creator of that indelible character, the legendary, and he is a legend, whether he likes it or not, Gary Burbank. Gary, how are you?
I'm okay. Thanks so much, Scott. That's my legacy right there. I wasn't sure I wanted Earl to be my legacy. Then someone says, "Well, how about Gilbert for Gilbert Gnarly?" And I'm thinking like, that's not much better, is it? But it's cool, you know. I was able to do all these things and basically not work for a living.
You know, Gary, I was thinking about this morning because you have created so many different characters, and anybody who listened to your show on WLW or when it was syndicated knows you had a ton of characters. Why was Earl the syndicated one? Why was he the one that caught on with people so heavy?
Well, my partner in all of this stuff is a guy by the name of Tim Mizak. He had an ad agency in town. And we were talking about it one time. He said Earl should be doing. Well, it wasn't Earl actually. The weird part was someone sent me a script. It was sort of like what Earl is now. But I messed with it a little bit, and it had a different name, and he wasn't Earl Pitts. And the person that sent it to me was one of the guys that write for me, and. So I found out later on, maybe about 2 weeks, and we'd been doing it for a couple of weeks, that this was already a character that the guy that sent it to me stole it. Although he said he didn't realize he did. But then so I changed the name to Earl Pitts, and changed the approach. I didn't change the personality and all that as to how it was supposed to happen. And then it worked okay, though.
You know, 35 years is no mistake, and as we said in the intro, the new episodes have stopped, but stations are still airing classic Earl episodes. What allowed that character to sustain for 35 years?
I think Earl is just right down there with everybody else. Of course, you don't. Earl is satirical. He's a little like Archie Bunker, from All in the Family. Whereas you look at Earl and you hear Earl and you say to yourself, I don't want to be that, and then you realize this isn't right. But there are so many people today that worry that, like, I don't think we can watch All in the Family. You never see it rerunning because there are so many people who are worried that you don't get it, when in reality, they're the ones who don't get it. And Earl was on a small enough scale to where they didn't bother with him.
You know, it's interesting, Gary, because Carol O'Connor, in his later days, the actor who portrayed Archie Bunker for the audience, used to say that people thought he was Archie Bunker, and he thought that half the audience was getting it, but half the audience was also saying, go get him, Archie, and he was never he was never comfortable with that. What percentage of the audience...
And I'm not either. Yeah. I know exactly what he's talking about. it's I go to pains to say, look, you know, this guy's Earl. You shouldn't be like Earl. There are so many people that are like, yeah, my God, I'd vote for Earl. I tell you a funny story. I ran for governor of Ohio as Earl Pitts back in the, was it the late 80s or something? Sometime in the 80s. And it was not an interesting race. Whoever was running wasn't creating a lot. So we went, you know, we really did a political jaunt, you know, around everywhere. And I was doing speeches and stuff like that to work up some interest, just kidding around. And so the election is held, and we wondered how many write-in votes Earl might have gotten. So we called, and the folks that were doing the counting, and they weren't very happy to hear from us. And they wouldn't even tell me a thing. So a little later, there was a guy in the Hamilton Journal that wrote a story about 16,000 unaccounted for votes in that area alone. He didn't say who it was for. He said unaccounted for votes. I'm thinking, man, if I'd have worked a little harder, I could have been governor. Of course, I'd have had to be Governor Earl.
Well, you know, that's a whole other thing, is that how many people think you are Earl Pitts or that he is a real person?
Oh, I don't think many people think that. I mean, not that I know of. You know, it's very strange the way this character is just, he's like in just certain areas across the country. Like you'll hear him in Montana on a couple of stations, but then you'll hear him in Louisiana on 100 stations, you know,
yeah.
If there's 100 stations in Louisiana. And so, what was the question? It's still early for me.
I understand. How many people think he's a real person in your estimation?
I don't think. I think most people know he's not. I think 99% know he's not. Although maybe 50% of that 99% still adopt his ways.
And
Earl is not. He's not one of the guys that would have come down on the Capitol. He's not like that. He's more of a. You know, he'll tell you what's wrong with the world, but he won't do anything about it.
Now, how many times over the 35 years has he commented in your remembrance on things that were going on in the news, like what we saw last week?
Usually, if something's going on, I mean, you know, if I was wondering, if I was on the air, would I bring that up? Now, no. I think I'd stay out of it because I'm really not, you know, I'd want to condemn it, of course, like any real American would. But on the other hand, you know, I'm thinking to myself, who am I? You know, and if it's something that is not quite as devastating as what happened last week, I'll do it. But if it's really important, I stay out of it.
Mm. You know, and Gary, the common question here this morning is, why did you decide to stop this? When did you decide that this is enough?
Well, Tim Mizak, as I mentioned earlier, is my partner. Tim, he writes at least three of them a week, and he's the. I've got some other guys too and girls that write Earl some too, and so I guess. Charlie, what was the question?
Why have you decided to stop doing Earl?
Okay, I'll have to explain something to you in a minute about my memory. We stopped because Tim was just tired. He just called me one morning and said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I'm empty. And I said, I'm empty too. And we thought, okay. Some of the other folks, the guys that wrote and girls that wrote, they were kind of empty too. We had done everything and there wasn't enough, you know, local stuff to do five commentaries a week. And so we just thought, you know, maybe we're just over. And we were.
How far ahead did you decide this? Because I know to a lot of people when it was announced right before Christmas that it was going to wrap up, a lot of people were shocked by this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were thinking that Earl was that age. But I'm way past Earl's age. See, Earl stayed the same age the whole time. You know, like, you know, TV shows and stuff like that. I mean, that, you know, you don't all of a sudden make the character so old that you can't write anything for him because he can't talk. And I think we did what we really had to do. Have you ever worked at something and worked at something and worked at something? And pretty soon it was fun in the beginning, but after a while, it becomes work. And when it becomes work, time to move on.
I do want to mention, Gary, that we have people out there in listener land this morning that are sending us messages here through the internet, and one that came through said, "This is so fun to listen to. My sister and I used to listen to him every morning on our way to school. Just cracked us up." So it's nice to hear that.
Very, very nice to hear it. You know, we're on radio, and if you're on stage and you say something funny, you hear the laughter. And if you say something funny in the microphone on the radio, you just don't hear anything. And it's really nice when you hear, you know, like, "Hey, that was funny. Thank you." Yeah.
Well, you know, it is so interesting, Gary, and you know, we've been friends for a while now, but it is true. People knew, and this is a two-and-a-half-minute commentary, people knew the time of day it came on so they could turn on the radio to listen to this. It was, I can see why it lasted 35 years is, I guess, the best way to put it.
Well, let me tell you, what really hit me in the face in Tampa, Earl runs on WFLA. You know, big AM station, talk station, all that stuff there. And he's run there. They've been on since, you know, from day one. And this is about 10 or 12, 15 years ago. They decided that they were doing this show for the station, and they decided they had to have Earl Pitts in person on the show at Ruth Eckert Hall, which is like a 2,000-seat, you know, venue. And they asked me, "Can you do this?" I said, "No, I don't do stand-up comedy. And I like to hide in a little room and do it. Nobody can hit me with a bottle of anything." And they just got on me really. But how about giving me just 10, 15 minutes? And I'm thinking, 10 or 15 minutes, I don't know if I can do that stand-up-wise. But I'll try. Okay, 15 minutes. And so, because I didn't think that the people really knew who I was. I mean, I was on the station. They might have heard Earl Pitts a few times, you know, but they didn't really know and didn't really care in my mind. And so I was, again, running for president. Earl always runs for president. And so they had some of the salesmen at the station dress up like Secret Service agents. And then we were in the back of the auditorium. As they introduced me, I was supposed to come down the aisles and then walk up on the stage. And I'm thinking, you know, that's going to be a long walk because people are going to be looking at this. And I've got I had a fake stomach on. I had a great big beer gut and the whole number. So, and they had asked me when I got there, "Can you do 30 minutes? And I said, "No, I can't even do 15. And so, so we get in the back, and I hear Jack yell, you know, "Earl Pitts, Mark!" And the doors slam open, and as I walk into this big auditorium, I look, these people are standing on their seats. I'm like, "What?" And they were like really just kind of going pretty wild, and I get up to the stage, and I could go, and they would laugh. So guess how long I went? I went an hour.
Well, you know,
they needed a hook to pull me off stage.
Well, you know, obviously, listening to you this morning, we know that Earl Pitts is not your voice. Where did the voice come from?
I'm from, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, grew up in Mississippi. And so the name, you know, I never knew. People said, "Why the name Earl Pitts?" And I said, you know, I don't remember why. I don't remember naming him after anything or anything like that. The name just came to me. But since then, a listener sent me a picture of a road near Ripley, Mississippi. It was in that area. And it was called Earl Pitts Road. And they had, you know, the road sign, the whole thing, Earl Pitts Road. And I'm thinking, how long has that been there? And no one seemed to know. The person who sent me the picture didn't know either. But I'm thinking, well, it's probably been there all my life. And when I was a kid, you know, we used to, you know, we'd be around that area. I probably went down Earl Pitts Road and saw the sign and didn't think anything else of it. And then when it came time for a name, it just came to me, Earl Pitts. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I think that's where I got the name.
And the voice, where did the voice come from?
Everybody I knew. Remember, we're talking Mississippi here, you know. And, there's a lot of guys down here talking like this here.
And it's a great voice. You know, I was also thinking this morning as I was driving in, when you hear this 35 years on the radio, there's really no introduction. It's just Earl starting. There's no announcer that comes on and says, here's Earl Pitts.
No.
It's really great.
No. And you just go right and just ride with it, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Gary, it was reported when you decided to wrap this whole thing up that you went into the booth and taped the last New Earl on Friday, December 18th. What was it like to tape the last one after 35 years?
Well, there was no ceremony. It was just, Carol, we were sitting, I said, I got to go out to the studio and cut my Earls. And so I came out here. Well, I always did it, and I would go through all the scripts that were sent me. I might want to rewrite a little bit or change this around, do that, you know. So I spent about maybe an hour, rewriting a little bit. Not much. Most of it I don't have to. The guys that write for me are so good that, you know, I used to have to do a lot of repair. But they got so good that, you know, they could repair my repair. And so it was easy.
When you went into,
I went out and I did it, and it was you know, there was no ceremony and nothing like that. I got done and went inside and said, okay, I'm done. Let's go jump in the river.
Well, personally, was there a happiness that, hey, a job well completed, longest running comedy syndicated program? Was there any sadness that you wouldn't be doing it again? Is any feeling at all?
Excuse me. No, not really. You know, Scott, it was kind of like, you know, well, if you left your radio show, you walk out, you feel a little sad. And I guess as it dawns on me that I don't do Earl anymore, it does kind of feel a little sad now that you mention it, but nothing I can't handle.
Is there a point or somewhere where you would do him again? Not on a continuous basis, but would you bring him back for a special if somebody asked you to do him for some particular purpose? Would you do it or?
Well, if somebody at an old folks home asked me to come in there, I'd be fine. Yeah, because I would look like Earl. but because I've gotten older, and I've gotten older, I've gotten forgetful. I would be deathly afraid of going on stage now because I wouldn't remember anything. You know how people walk. You know, as you get older, there's what is that called? I can't remember what I have is called, but it's basically, you know, just getting old and forgetting things. You'd walk in. People say I walked into the room and I forgot why I walked into the room. I walk in the room and I forgot. I go, what city is this? You know, I'm just totally, you know, out to lunch. And at times, I don't want to get caught on stage like that.
Well, I think we all can understand. Now, was that what you wanted to tell us about your memory? Was that it? A little trouble there?
Yeah, it's. I was worried that it was some kind of dementia or something like that. And I went to see a neurologist, but he was a different. They give you a test, and they test you almost all day. And I wasn't very good in school. I was like, I had ADHD. My mother used to say, boy, if they knew what ADHD was when you were a child, you'd have been a poster kid. And I probably would have been, because I still have it, you know. And I moved a little too fast at times from subject to subject. That's why radio works so well for me, because, you know, your break is, you got to, a seven-minute break here. Well, that's great. For 7 minutes, I can pay attention. And then you go to commercial. There's another minute. Oh, you have another 10-minute break here. Okay, I can pay attention for 10 minutes. But I don't just kind of go away.
So when you went to the doctor, everything turned out okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about. See, I forgot what we were talking about. everything. No, I'm trying to remember what I had. And I can't remember. Mile. It's not going to come because now it's messing with my head. Whatever I had was like a mild case of not remembering. I thought it was different. What happened was I was chasing a duck. Okay. I live on this river and in Florida. And I just stained the dock the day before, and I looked out, and there's a cormorant sitting on the dock, and I knew what he was going to do because he did it every morning, and it's used my dock as his own toilet. And I went running outside to chase him off, and it had dried and everything, so I just had my socks on, and when I hit the dock, I started sliding. And the cormorant's just kind of looking at me like, I'm going, if I slide into you, pal, we're both going in. And so I hit the, but all of a sudden I looked, and my feet were above my head. And I thought, now, why are my feet up? Bam! Mm. And I was out for about a minute or something like that. So the doctor, you know, he was, you know, they did all kind of things to see if there was anything wrong, but it wasn't. I'm fine. You know, that's what they say, but I do forget a lot of things.
Now, this mild case of memory loss, did this play into any of wrapping
cognitive,
up?
Cognitive, mild cognitive something.
Mild
loss, yeah.
Yeah. What, did this play into wrapping up Earl Pitts at all?
No.
No.
No, no. I'm great with Earl, you know, because I sit in there, I can look at a script, you know, as I do it. I'm not ad-libbing that. You know, I can just look at a script and I don't even, there are many times when, like, if I'm in a rush, I don't really have to, especially the stuff from Tim Mizak, I didn't have to deal with. I've gone and read it just cold, and it worked fine.
Mm. Now, the last new Earl Pitts that aired, is there anything you wanted the last show to be, or what was the subject matter for the last show?
I have no idea, because remember, we do five at a time.
Right. But
and the way it would work, I got a little studio here, and so I send it to the producer up there. I email it to him, and not email, what is it? Whatever it is, I send to him, and then he takes it and puts it up on the satellite, and the stations that run, they get it.
Now, did Earl say goodbye? Do you remember? Was it a goodbye show or just another typical show?
No, it was a typical show because there are so many stations that want to continue running Earl, and they'll play stuff that people haven't heard. You know, there's some great Earls from, you know, I heard one the other day. It was Earl was talking about he went into a yuppie sandwich thing for lunch. Him and Deb walked into one. They sat down and they came in. They said, you know, we wanted a sandwich, and she asked him what kind of bread he wanted. And he goes, what do you mean, what kind of bread do I want? And she said that I'm doing the forgetting thing here again. What kind of, oh yeah. She said, well, we got so and so bread, and we got so and so, and we got pita bread. What is that? And then he's freaked out about all the stuff that they're doing. But that's just so. But it was a very funny piece. I can't remember the funny parts right now, but it was a very funny piece. And I think, well, there's a lot of them like that. And, you know, Earl talking about this or that. And it's pretty weird stuff.
Now, it's interesting. We've got Gary here for about 19 more minutes. We're going to give him a minute to think about this. What his favorite Earl Pitts was, because we're going to play something here. Over 35 years, we've seen a lot of new inventions. A lot has changed across this country. And one of those things that is very hot right now is Alexa. Now, we're going to play one more Earl Pitts here this morning, and this is Earl Pitts meets Alexa. So let's take a listen to this on WWGH Radio. Here we go.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so mad? I won't take Stephen Hawking to a karaoke bar. Pearl's sister, Ruby, did a couple things different this year for Christmas. I was going to tell you all about. For one thing, She didn't show up at the family holiday dinner with some deadbeat, job-hating freeloader boyfriend introduced to the family as the absolute love of her life just a few days before she had him arrested at the pawn shop for stealing the urn on her mantle with her grandpa's earthly remains inside. Second off, she didn't bring her usual crocheted crap that none of us really like. Instead, she bought us what's called DOT. Now, when Pearl opened it up, I couldn't understand why the hell Ruby thought we'd want a hockey puck. See, it's this little round black thingamajigger. It sits on your table and tells you things. We plugged it in, found out there's a girl on the other end named Alexa. And when you ask Alexa a question, she answers. You say, Alexa, what's the weather like? And she tells you just like you got your very own weather girl sitting on your coffee table, but without the blonde hair, big eyes, and low-cut sweater. And you say, Alexa, sing me a song. Now, she ain't no Dolly, but she'll crank out whatever tune stuck in her head that day. Or you could ask her what the square root of gazillion is, and she'll rattle it right off without even taking time to pull up a calculator or something. Well, I tell you, I was pretty impressed with Alexa until I got to thinking. All you got to do is say her name and ask her whatever. That means she or one of her coworkers is listening all the time, right? Day or night, 24/7. Now, I'm not a real private person, but I admit I say and do things in my living room that I'd just rather not, you know, have in the ears of total strangers. I make some body noises of my own, too, that I don't care about them hearing. And I have some intimate moments with Pearl. And when the kids are at the movies, you know, it's going to be a little bit hard trying to get frisky with Pearl while Alexa's sitting right there listening and waiting to tell us the capital of Rhode Island. Wake up, America! Remember all them stories you heard about Big Brother? Well, this here's Alexa, his little sister. I am Earl Pitts, American. Pizza.
Oh, that's pretty good, Gary. That's pretty good.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one, I think.
Oh, my goodness. That's they, funny.
Well, see, you know, but I really do have issues with that. Because I mean, I'm one of these people think, are they listening? You know, they're hearing our question. What else do they hear? You know, and why would anybody want to put a microphone on me? You know, as far as anything, you know, a little strange.
Now, I do want to let people know, because we are getting questions from the audience here in listener land.
Sure.
Through the internet. And one of the questions, and I think we've already answered this, but we want to reiterate, this is from James, one of our listeners out there. He said, ask Gary Burbank if they will continue the show with a new Earl Pitts or someone like him. They're going to air the classic ones, right, Gary?
Yeah, they'll be airing the classic ones from won't be connected with us. In fact, I'm working on, I'm not sure it's going to happen totally, but I'm pretty sure it's going to. I'm working on a podcast, and I'm not going to work very hard because I'm retired. And so, but as it turns out, I'm working harder than I did when I was working. And but what it is like I'm using like the Gilberts. I've got like about 300 Gilberts or more. And I can line that up, and it's you know, it would go forever, and all these other bits too that work still today.
Now, when you left WLW, I believe back in 2007, Gary, you obviously continued to do Earl Pitts, and now that has come to an end, does this feel like a retirement from broadcasting, even though you possibly have the podcasting coming up?
Not really. Yeah, I think it's a little because of the podcasting. My daughter is a professor of electronic media at NKU, and she's going to produce it. She wants to produce it, and she wants her dad to live on with this. That's sort of sweet of her, but she's going to produce it, and so she's a hard worker. So I got to try to keep up with her, and that's hard. But we're doing it. I mean. We're having, you know, these shows are, what worries me about these shows is really there are things in there that are going to, you know, make some people mad, you know, because there's too many people that think this is serious And I tell them, this isn't serious. This is just, you know, it's a comedy piece. This is satire. We had one of the greatest compliments I think we ever had when we were syndicated. There was a newspaper story about the show, and the guy said, "Radio's answer to Monty Python." As I listened to it, I thought, "No, we're never that good." But still, it is a lot like, you know, the same kind of humor that satirically can really make a good point.
You know, and we should mention to people that in a world of radio right now where it does seem to be all interviews or political opinions, you showed up early. These things were written. These were bits. This was polished comedy. It took some time for you to do these shows.
Oh, yeah. It would be like, it didn't take as much time as you'd think. I was able to come in here, and I've got a little studio, and I sit in my little studio and coast my equipment because it never works, and then it starts to work. I see what I had the other day. I was calling. If I made a telephone call, someone would answer the phone, and I'd start talking, and they'd just hang up. They go, "What's going on?" Well, as it turned out, there's something on my phone that did that cut out my voice, and nobody could hear me talking, and I couldn't figure out why. So I kept messing with it, and finally it came to me. It was like, you know, the little microphone thing up there. It was on mute, and so I'm like, I didn't do that. So then I thought, okay, well, and, you know, and then it started working. So when it was on mute, you know, it would, you know, I'm going through the forgetting my story thing again. Anyway, what were we talking about?
You know, there is a question that people have that I want to ask you. There are two things that seem to be associated with Earl, and it's Wake Up America and Pits Off. Now, did those just come to you during has it always been that way, all 35 years?
Yeah, they just came to me. You know, it's just like, because I wrote quite a few of them too, you know, more of the old days. I wrote more in the old days, and so yeah.
You know, it's always going to be said there is only one longest-running comedy syndicated program, Earl Pitts. I don't know that people are going to have runs like that anymore. 35 years. When people look back on this, how do you hope they remember this 35-year period of new content 5 days a week?
I think what I would like for people to take away from Earl is this is not real. This is a guy who's exaggerated. There's, you know, there's probably not many people out there that actually believe the way Earl does. I mean, he's touching on it. He touches on it enough for it to be familiar, but it's not the real deal. This is satirical. Earl Pitts is like a Southern Archie Bunker in a way. And he's not really telling you to do the things that he does, although he's telling you. But you have to realize when he's telling you, don't listen. But listen, but don't listen to what he says or take it to heart.
You know, that's interesting, Gary. Does that bother you? I mean, we've talked about that a couple of times. Does it bother you that people might take him as the gospel truth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not, well, to him it is the truth, but he doesn't know the truth, not really. But he's not, if you've noticed, Earl has never been a racist, never been a thief. He's never been too bad, you know. He's just misguided a little bit in ways. But he doesn't think so. He thinks you're misguided for thinking he's misguided. And he's belligerent about it.
How much of Gary Burbank is in that character?
Earl?
Yeah.
I'd say not much at all.
Really?
Yeah. I've known people like Earl all my life. People in my family like Earl all my life. That's just the way it is. But as far as me being like Earl, not too much. Maybe when I'm watching a ball game.
You know, it was here at WLW that a lot of this started, and certainly where you had a very successful radio program for so many years. And we're going through this pandemic. Was the pandemic something that was ever funny? Could you ever do anything on, could Earl do anything on the pandemic?
Yeah, we did a few things. Of course, he called it the pandemic. and we did some things on that, yeah. But we didn't lean on it. You know, it was something that that I think I get a little nervous when it gets serious. You know, I don't want it. I want you to know I am not serious. And sometimes it's really hard to get people away from that.
Do you have, in this 35 years, you know, we all have regrets when we're on the air for a long time. In this 35-year series of commentaries, are there any regrets that stick out to you?
I've probably offended some people that, you know, I wish I didn't, but I didn't mean to. I'm sure I can't pinpoint a single one. But mostly because I can't remember anything anymore. That's not right. I don't know. I don't really lean on that. I don't think so. I don't think I've really done anything that bad to. I mean, I got some Trump fans really mad at me because Earl, you know, he's claiming that Donald Trump stole his act, and he was, and so they would get real mad at me. I'm going like, no, you know. Earl is running for president. Well, this will be funny, but Earl, you know, because but so many people got mad at me. I mean, really mad at me. And I'm like, no, it's, you know, Earl is Earl himself. If you know, he can't support Trump if he's running for president against him, and Earl has run for president every single election.
You know, it's interesting.
I kind of left it out.
Well, it's interesting, Gary, because in the last 4 years of the Trump presidency, it's certainly been over top of us here in the United States and other countries as well. Have you been more cognizant in the last 4 years of doing Earl with President Trump as president that maybe outlandish things aren't taken so outlandishly?
You know, you're right about that, because a lot of outlandish stuff has happened, and most people don't seem to hear it, and but if I swear, if I do it though, the FCC will come down on me like, you know what? No, I don't do that. I think it's better that I just stick to doing, you know, trying to be funny and not make any sense.
Gary, there are a couple. We got about 5 minutes left here. I want to ask you this. But this is not the final question because there's something else I want to ask you. But you know, because of this 35-year run, and because it was so hugely popular that the repeats will continue to air for everybody who loves Earl out there. Does it ever bother you that 100 years from now, when you end up departing this planet, the headline will probably read Earl Pitt's creator Gary Burbank dies, that it won't encompass all that other great material? It'll be in the paragraphs, but it won't be the headline.
That's exactly, you're right. I always look at it like, well, I'll be dead, so how will I know? I mean, I'm not sure we can look from heaven down on earth. I doubt we could. So I know nothing, so I like it that way. I don't think that Earl will be around that long, to be honest with you. People usually get pretty tired. Well, actually, he has been around, but this is the second time around. And most of the time, you'll hear this new Earl that you hear on, like, today, and it'll be something you don't remember because we aired it 15, 20 years ago. And we can't go back too far, because if I go back too far, Earl doesn't sound like he does today. When I first started doing Earl, he was talking more like this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I exaggerated it to a point where, okay, it was exaggerated, but I have like in Water Valley, Mississippi, I remember walking up a gravel road to the little country store where we'd go up there and get a knee-high. I remember this old guy sat outside and he'd talk to you like this. And I kind of adopted that voice to do Earl. But as time went on, I made Earl a little more a little more suburban, but not much.
How long would you like to see these repeats run? Would you like that to be indefinite if people were liking them, or a certain amount of time?
Yeah, like I said, 15 years, I mean, it's a long time, but 35 years is a long time. And so I'd say 30 years of that Earl was Earl, I mean, the way he was, you know, later on. So, I would like to see that. I'd like to see it just run, because as long as people get it and it's funny, that's great. You know, it just makes people laugh. I'm happy for that.
And one serious question here. We've got about 3 minutes left. With everything, and you can say whatever you want to say or whatever you don't want to say, but from Gary Burbank, with everything that's been going on in the last week in this country, we've had some weird times. What do you make of the last week?
It's a funny thing. The thing that gets me the most about that, and it's very strange, is like, I guess maybe my Army days or whatever, but like, I see these people, and I understand that they've got a problem, but to me, I'm thinking, if you're really a real American, you find a way to take care of that problem through the Constitution, because only a few years ago, a couple of years ago, you declared yourself a constitutionalist, and now you're stomping on it. But there's a way to get what you want, but this ain't it. Whatever that means. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and the question right now is, do you
think... It bothers me what happened. I mean, Yeah.
Well, do you think, I mean, we have, 7 days left of the Trump presidency now, and it looks like he's going to be impeached. We don't know for sure. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think he should resign? What do you make of this whole mess we're in?
I think you just said it, this whole mess we're in. I think that, you hit me with a tough question here. I think I should put it in an Earl and do a new one.
Get one more for the road.
One more Earl for the road. It's just that, you know, like I am, I'm not a liberal, nor am I a conservative totally. I have this new way of looking at things. You actually see an issue come down the pike. You take on this issue, find out more about it, and then form an opinion. You don't let the party tell you what to think. You don't, none of that. You do it all by yourself. And it's the by yourself thing.
Oh. It certainly is an interesting time. And before we part ways this morning, one question and then something I want to say. Does it ever bother you that first and foremost in people's minds, just by the people who are writing us this morning and the huge outpouring when you announced you weren't going to do any more new episodes last month, does it bother you that first and foremost in people's minds it'll be Earl Pitts?
Yeah. Because I would rather for it to be Press the Face of the Nation. We did that for a long time. Earl is a funny piece. When you hear all of it, you hear what I'm talking about. Not just Earl, but Earl is one of the things. Yeah, I'm glad that people remember Earl, but I think there were some of the things that Doc and I did. I should bring that up. I had a co-host by the name of Kevin Wolf. Doc was like easily as funny as I was, and more so. And he was the perfect foil for me, because he had the B personality, I had the A personality, and I'm reaching for a joke, and Doc would take me right there. And so we did a lot of material and a lot of good stuff in all of these years. Like, you know, when you hear 300 to 500 Gilberts, you know, and those are funny, but there are sometimes when I hear them now, I cringe, because maybe, you know, I feel like maybe I shouldn't have done that on the air, you know?
Mm.
Or like when I called it and had the list of toys, do you hell, as Gilbert Darley, now I'm hearing how rushed these people were, and I shouldn't have bothered them.
Well, Gary, before we part ways this morning, number one, I want to thank you for getting up early, because I know you normally don't get up this early. But I also want to say you have been...
I get up. I'm just not alive.
Well, you've been coming on with me for quite a long time now, and back to the WLW days, and you have always been a gentleman to me. And the truth of the matter is that you don't create a character that lasts 35 years, and nobody was asking you to stop doing it, hence they're still airing repeats. Yeah. It is probably the most indelible character in the history of radio for a lot of people. The people on the internet are hitting us up this morning saying that what just a body of work and a legacy you have had. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop asking you to come on the show. This is not a goodbye, but it's just a tribute to a guy who really did something here from the state of Ohio and created something that went nationwide. And what a magnificent feat it was. My Cubs cap is off to you, Gary Burbank.
Well, I really appreciate it very much. Coming from you, because I've heard your interviews too, and I really enjoy them. I'm sorry I was about half asleep this morning, but I did manage to wake up a little.
You did do well. Can we get on this special occasion? Can Earl just take us to break here?
This is Earl Pitts American. You know what makes me sick? Nothing, because I'm gonna go take a nap. Earl Pitts American, Pitzel.
Thank you, Gary. Stay well.
See you, Scott.
Bye bye. The legendary Gary Burbank. It doesn't get any better than that. We'll be back with Dr. Art Uhlein.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmech.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. GOAT.